based on Sperio don't reflect those of MIT, the Public Broadcasting Corporation.
The Technology Broadcasting Corporation.
Or MIT. Yeah. I guess that's all. Thank you, Roberto, so much for coming.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the wonderful discussion we had.
Foi promedia, vai inspirar mi cubo amor da de mi sol. Va bloquear mi sentimento y va poder a de mi pasión. Mi te esclavo de vida, anoche y de día. Tu experiencia algo mágico. Foi promedia, mamire. Foi promedia, mamire. Si un estrella cae fue en cielo, tabo amor ma desea. Ma pidi mi deseo y tabo so mi tangela. Si mi pienso un rato arriba, bo mi mente está. Babo mi que viva, fue día más mirado. La experiencia algo mágico. Fodi promedia más mire. Fue promedia más mire.
For the best in African music, tune into Africa Kabisa, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. You'll hear the sounds of soukous down below, makossa, coupe de Calais, kwaito, highlife, and more. We bring all the sounds of Africa to you, from classics from the golden age of rumba to the latest dance club favorites, with everything from Afrobeat to Ziglibiti. Plus interviews, immigration and health information, ticket giveaways, and a complete calendar of local African events. That's Africa Kabisa, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. on 88.1 FM, WMBR, Cambridge.
مرحبا. مرحبا في Music for Human. I'm a doctor جالس السكران and I welcome you. Music for Human is a talk age, new age talk show with an emphasis on you. Again, I am Dr. Jalas Sakran, transdermal mediator, and we are fortunate to have with us many, many co-hosts today. But in addition to this, we have two open lines, so you may call in and join the circle and participate, and we'll all learn together. First of all, we have Professor Levine, New Age Jewish mystic professor.
It's great to be here again.
It's so good to have you, Professor.
I know I've been absent for a couple weeks. I was journeying on a spiritual quest, and now I've returned.
And I hope that it was fruitful in many ways.
Yes, I believe I reached 1.5 steps closer to enlightenment.
It is said that if you take one step towards enlightenment, then it will take 1.5 steps towards you.
That is indeed said, and I find that to be very true.
So you took 1.5 steps towards enlightenment, so it took, what is that, 2.25 steps towards you?
More or less.
That's a lot.
It is many steps.
We also have with us Ivan the Mellow, who's a Siberian person.
Здравствуйте, товарищ.
Welcome, Ivan.
Thank you.
We are also, for the first time, we are joined by the priestess Isis. Isis the priestess. Welcome, Isis.
Hi. Is it on? It's nice to be here.
Welcome, Isis. Yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties. We're constantly experiencing some difficulties due to the vast psychic energies that are focused here whenever Music for Humans.
Oh no, it's okay.
And I believe we also have the general joining us today. Is the general there?
Hello?
Hello, general, welcome.
This is Mr. Five.
Oh, Mr. Five, I'm so sorry.
Is it... Where's... I'm not sure where the general is.
The general is away.
Okay.
But, yeah, so for the listeners to understand, Mr. Five is beyond several layers of glass, concrete, soundproofing, and I think there's a car wash. And so, naturally, we are connecting on electrical lines. And Mr. Five, is Georgina the Explorer also there?
Hello.
Welcome, Georgina.
Hello, thank you.
Georgina, of course, is the Arctic Explorer who has recently come south from her journeys to share with us her spiritual discoveries. So we have a sort of magical number here. We have, what is that, six hosts in the studio today. And hopefully we can get a single caller, but not more than one, making the number of points 7, which of course, as we all know, is a combination of 3, which represents the sacred, and 4, which represents the material world, combining to form the divine sum, which is 7 for those of the listeners who can't add very well. Don't be ashamed, you're driving. Of course, it's wonderful to have so many accomplished people in the same area, but something I notice is that from the meditation, very few of you have prayer bumps, which are more common in my part of the world.
Well, what is a prayer bump?
Well, thank you for asking, Professor Levine, although I think in your case the question must be rhetorical, as you have a quite prominent prayer bump.
Thank you very much.
The prayer bump, of course, is the callus formed in the center of the worshipper's forehead from constantly rubbing their forehead into the ground during prostration, which is a common part of the prayer. It has great significance. Many people regard it as a sign of piety. So therefore, naturally, there are many artificial products which will generate prayer bumps. There are surgical techniques as well.
Now, I've heard it said that in the East, the prayer bump on a woman's forehead is considered not only a mark of deep piety and contemplativeness, but also a sign of powerful sensuality and is highly favored by men seeking brides.
Well, I mean, in addition to all of this, it is known that there are spiritual consequences to having a prayer bump, that psychic energies and an ability to meditate on another level, which is not usually available. Now, in the study of Jewish mysticism, Professor Levine, are there such marks that you are aware of?
Well, I think we've talked about this once before, and in a traditional mystic Jewish prayer, one does not prostrate themselves, but rather one stands on their eyes.
One will stand on the eye.
Yes, one eye in particular, the left eye, is particularly favored as a point of support when one is standing on the eye. So, in fact, one develops what would be called the prayer eye, which is a strengthening of the eye socket bone and a callusing of the skin around the eye.
Now, and this gradually became one of the characteristics of the stereotypical Jew in Europe.
That's right, the left eye.
The left eye being enlarged along with a crook nose from, spending many hours balanced on a single eye.
That's correct. Now, I, as a practicer of ecumenical worship, I believe all religions have something to contribute.
So you have 2 bumps.
I have many bumps, many prayer bumps on many parts of my body, mm-hmm. as well as the Jewish eye.
And the crook nose.
The crook nose. All these are results of my journeying through all the spiritual aspects of all faiths.
I have to assure our listeners who unfortunately cannot see you that Professor Levine is the very image of piety.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for being here with us, with your visage of piety. Now, Georgina, I wonder if in your travels you have met people, snow people who have large bumps on their shoulders, for instance. I'm not familiar with where exactly the bumps will be. I understand also that it is a point about which it's sort of considered taboo to reveal bump locations to non-family members.
haven't noticed any bumps on the shoulders, although there are quite a few bumps on the knees. They tend to pray on their knees a lot.
On one knee at a time or balanced on two knees?
The beginners begin on both knees, but the people farther along in their journey move to one.
So, as you gradually become a better worshipper, you balance on fewer items and yet still manage to focus. Now, also, I think it's worth letting our listeners know that, one might imagine that, the purpose of the prayer or the meditation is to eliminate as many and as many elements of the mundane as possible. And so one would think that, well, isn't this strange? Why am I focusing so hard on balancing? But the point is that the same part of your brain, and this is scientific, this knowledge, the same part of your brain that would focus on that girl that you saw earlier, or the price of oranges these days, or the scarcity of mangoes, that same part of your brain will instead be focused on the balance, leaving the rest of your brain, as small as it might be, to focus and connect with the, a divine or a universal presence.
Yes, and I've heard it often said that the Buddhist monks of Tibet are able to actually achieve complete levitation in their meditation. That as you gradually decrease the points of contact between your body and the earth, you will eventually come to the state where you no longer need the support of any body part upon the earth, and you will just float in the air.
And this is truly, truly a great image of sincere worship.
Indeed.
That's really disconnecting yourself there from the mundane, right? Really leaving the earth altogether. Although, I think many New Age practitioners would think this is a little bit counterintuitive. Why would you want to separate yourself from the earth? Many people would like to commune with the earth.
I'd also like to make the distinction of, I think Professor Levine was talking about you removing your points of contact from the earth. As you increase in your spiritual journey, but I think another important and meaningful way to look at it is the earth removing its points of contact from you. I think it's important to remember that we're all born with the earth as a material world, and I think the wise spiritual journeyers will realize that you are not lifting yourself off from the earth, but the earth is letting go of you.
That's a very valid point. And going back to what Dr. Jalas mentioned, I believe that each person has their own personal spiritual path they have to take. For some people, that's the path of abstinence from the world, of withdrawing into the spirit world only. And for other New Age practitioners, the main goal is to bond with the world, to become one with the mundane, yeah, and to bring spirituality into our everyday life, into practices of eating and sex and sleeping.
I think these many distinctions really rely on very subtle points of the principles of the original worship or meditation or whatever your terminology may be. But they are all valid in my view. Now, coming back to the worshippers in the in Isis's area, so now I'm aware that in your worship, that people tend to balance on a single ear for extended hours.
Yes, that is correct.
So, and I would imagine that this would mean that you have, and as I can see, a very large ear.
Well, I'm actually kind of embarrassed about it, but...
Well, no, don't be shy, but I wondered really if this gave you... So the prayer bump is often called the third eye, and it corresponds to the first chakra in Indian spiritualities. So the idea there is that it is... It comes about from one having repeatedly sought to see the unseen and to make contact with the invisible. So it indicates an ability to see without seeing. So I wonder if the enlarged ear is an ability to hear without hearing, to hear the invisible.
Why, yes. I'm surprised you knew about that.
Oh, well, it's just really an academic point of worship that I imagined must exist.
Well, I believe that all five senses can be used to see the unseen, hear the unheard, touch the untouched, and smell the unsmelled.
And,
taste the untaste.
There it is. I knew there was one more sense. And then there's the sixth sense. I don't know what the sixth sense is.
To perceive the unperceivable.
To perceive using your brain organ.
Right.
Well, and of course the seventh sense is calling someone. So
On the telephone.
So perhaps we should enable people to call the uncalled. Any callers that would like to commune with us, the number is 617-253-8810, and our operator should patch you through presently. And mostly today, I think we're interested, as always, you know, whatever contribution you make is welcome to the discussion. But we'd love to hear about any strange bumps that you may have acquired.
This music is really wonderful. It reminds me of my journeys of the past few weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we are listening to. Our music director has some very unusual tastes. Let's see. He's telling me we are listening to Spooky Actions, De Virginibus O Nobilissima, which is in some, it looks like it's in Hindi.
I believe it's humpback whale mating.
Well, the humpback whale music is also there in the background. Not sure they are mating, but obviously you, Georgina, the explorer, would have more experience with the copulation practices of the whales.
I actually believe that this is the sound of whales wailing in angst. This is the sound of ennui.
Yeah, it's possible that they are bored.
Most whales tend to be quite bored most
because
of their lives.
They don't have digital watches.
Right.
Well, I think it's time for our first call. Caller, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. I've been hearing what you were saying about the bumps, and I wanted to ask. I have one in my elbow, and I mean I'm not a spiritual person, but I don't know if you could help me to understand what it means.
Well, so the bump on the forehead was a third eye, so that you might see the unseen. I'm assuming that the elbow would be for bumping. So it is for you to bump the unbumped, I believe.
Okay, it's for me to bump the unbumped.
The unbumped.
Now, which elbow is this on, the left or the right?
It's the right one.
The right one. And are you a right-handed person?
Yes. Well, no, sorry. I'm left-handed. It's in my right one, but I'm left-handed.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Well, maybe you bump and you write simultaneously, which I think is a useful skill.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling. I suppose we'll have to refer to her as the left bump.
I would say that bump probably indicates that she shouldn't be afraid of throwing elbows at people in her life.
But you think that considering the fact that she already has a bump on her elbow, this suggests to me that she probably bumps sandpaper and things, you know, maybe tires.
Right, not just human beings.
Not just people. So she's really a bumper.
That's right,
one.
Yeah.
I mean, if it is acquired by convention, it might also simply be a cosmetic bump.
Well, it could be genetic also.
A genetic bump?
It could be a congenital bump.
Well, we really should have asked her more questions. Yeah. Could be that her body is trying to to form another arm.
That's awful.
Well, I've heard of these things. I mean, imagine how much easier it would be to play the piano.
Right. And, of course, in Indian mythology, many of the gods and goddesses had many arms.
Right.
She could be an incarnation of one of those goddesses.
Or somebody.
Yeah.
Dr. Giles, I did have a question.
Hmm.
So, you mentioned that you have several bumps, and I can obviously invite Jesus. Is there a point of measurement by which you can attribute the size of the bump on your forehead to your spiritual wisdom?
Well, you know, I don't know if these things are very precise. I'm aware that, again, it is thought that there is some correlation between bump size and your spiritual awareness. But
your spiritual virility, you might say.
If you like, your spiritual promiscuity. But all of these things are academic at best, because as far as I know, there is no method for measuring any of these quantities. And also, this is compounded by the frequent enlargement of these bumps by cosmetic and artificial means.
Yes, and one of the big controversies about this bump, one of the major questions is whether it's the size of the bump that matters or the way that you use the bump.
And that's an excellent point. And I believe also the subject of a 70s song.
Could you sing it?
Well, I don't really sing, but for those of you that were alive in the 70s, There was a dance move called the prayer bump, which it's very difficult to describe. There were a lot of movements, sort of simultaneous, but a very spiritual thing, also dancing, and just one of the many ways that you could reach some sort of universal understanding using the prayer bump. And unfortunately, you know, children these days, they're very fickle, and it's rare to see the prayer bump performed on the dance floors of our age.
In the discotheques?
The modern version of the discotheque, which is the, what's it called?
Not sure.
Club.
The club?
The club,
Sort of generic.
Yeah, I haven't been in touch with youth culture in several decades.
I do live this sort of hermit life, and, I eat a lot of pasta.
So, what are your recommendations for grooming one's bump?
Bump grooming is also a subject of great, great weight in much of the world. It's strange too, because whenever I am in Egypt, I see a lot of products for darkening the bump, for enlarging the bump, for shining the bump. And it's strange to see none of these things on television when I come here. But people might enlarge the bump and darken it a great deal using henna.
Well, I'm not an expert on American culture, but I believe they do enlarge bumps, just in a certain other location.
There are other bumps that they enlarge. Well, I know that men in Florida frequently have calf enlargements using silicone implants, and there it's a common surgical technique.
Right. My own view on body modification, informed by the mystical tradition, is that one should accept their body the way it is and learn to live with it and to commune with the earth, with their current, with whatever shape they're in. Every shape has its own mystical path. Hmm. And no shape should be despised.
Well, I agree that no shape should be despised, but certainly some body types are more conducive to spiritual exploration than others. And I sort of appreciate the Native American view, which is the body is a temple, that the, you know, man is inside his body performing spiritual search. And I'd like to add to that that the body is also a university, and because man is inside the body learning, and the body is also a restaurant, because man is inside the body not really eating, but certainly also a university.
Right, but in our modern day society, where we all live in harmony, we have to accept that there's not just one temple. There are many temples of worship, and there's many ways of
so one could enter another body and perhaps perform acts of spiritual search there.
Indeed, that's important, and not just one body type, but many shapes and forms can all be used as an aid for our spiritual quest.
But I'm not sure if the ancient Greek traditions are correct, but if a child is heralded from youth as the instrument of a particular god and then enters the temple of another god, then they may be struck down. And so I think there is some danger in entering too many temples, so to speak. There, you may be struck down by God. It's a dangerous thing. You know, don't perform risky, like, spiritual promiscuity.
I think we have been focused on bumps, but we've ignored the idea of flotation, about the earth letting go of us. And there's some very interesting research that's been going on by Dr. Patel in Bombay, where he has placed bodies in water and had them pray, and they measured their weight underwater to see how spiritual they are. And I think this is a very good example of ascending to another level of prayer.
So how high do they get?
Well, eventually you're weightless, but you can measure how deeply you've become in spirituality.
I'm not familiar with the work of Dr. Patel, but I know that in Japan there is an ancient tradition of the not the spiritual bump, but the spiritual cavity. So this idea that you may carry a substance, either physical or intangible, and generate or acquire some sort of power or strength from it. And I think the classical example that we're all familiar with is the kappa, which is the Japanese politeness demon, which gets its power from the water, which it carries when it leaves the water, in a depression in its head.
In the person's head or in the demon's head?
In the demon's head.
And where does the demon reside?
Mostly in the water. There are, according to Japanese folklore, two things that the kappa loves to eat, and these are the cucumber and impolite children.
I want to remind all our listeners that, of course, we'd welcome your voice into the circle of vibration. And our number is 617 253-8810.
This concept, of course, of the body as a temple, I think is somewhat disturbing. Well, yeah. Let's bring a caller's voice into this. Caller, welcome to the air.
Hi, how are you doing there?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well, It's such, you know, nicest day of the year so far in terms of temperature, you know, sun. So that's always a great thing.
Like I've got a
path. That is nice, that it's becoming warmer. Do you call it have any depressions, or cavities, or bumps, or protrusions, on your?
Where exactly?
Oh, anywhere.
You know, I'd say I'm not really necessarily sure of specific areas that I would like qualify as bumps, but I feel like there's certain areas that I feel like sometimes kind of feelings that wouldn't be considered a common feeling for that area in the body.
This is very interesting. What would that be exactly?
I do a decent amount of meditation, and I've noticed actually when I do loving kindness meditation that this sort of, this feeling like there's like something some sort of like insect or something like within my skin, like trying to like come out. Then it's in like a really small area, maybe like a square inch.
That's very interesting. Of course, we all know of the concept of the alien limb, which is known to both psychologists as well as, of course, it's been known to religious scholars for many tens of thousands of years. And it's an experience one can have when meditating where one suddenly feels that a limb of their body does not truly belong to them. And this can actually lead to some danger. It's been known to occur that uninitiated meditation, people practicing meditation without initiation will sometimes, in a fit of terror, actually cut off one of their limbs when they're experiencing this feeling of the alien limb. So one has to be careful and to understand this.
For balance.
Right. I'd also like to suggest to the caller, I know how important meditation is, but sometimes it's as important to open your eyes and make sure that there's not physically a bug crawling under your skin when you're doing this.
There are burrowing
worms. These are common sensations in
tapeworms.
Other countries. And it's not abnormal. So
it'd be an interesting thing, like if the meditation actually created like
larvae.
Some sort of energy, and then like that the larvae are eating at that one area right there.
And maybe they're eating away the badness in you.
Well. That would definitely be preferable than, you know, like some sort of
internal
functioning organing. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I don't really think it's a tapeworm though. I think it's just like sometimes I feel like certain parts of the body become more kind of attuned to, and certain energy maybe you could say it gets unlocked or something like that.
Do you mean they levitate? They rise up?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, as we talked before about the body being a temple, and it could be that each temple, of course, has its most holy of holy, its most sacred locus. And I believe that each human body also has its own focal point of energy, its own limb, that allows it to vibrate with the whole circle of the universe at once. And it could be different for each person. And they have to find that limb, or that organ, which is most closely connected to the universe.
Or in your case, that fistula.
It's all possible. I mean, and of course, it's a really tragic thing when someone has found this organ and it is removed through some accident or through some tragedy. And I'm aware that for many people who have, for example, communed with the universe by the use of their arm, that they get a prosthetic arm, and then the phantom arm is really beneficial because they will slap the prosthetic until the phantom arm fills the prosthetic, and then they have a sense of movement and a sense of awareness about where the arm is, even though there is no arm, there is only the prosthetic. I also heard about one case where the patient would wake up in the middle of the night and feel that their leg, like this case you were mentioning, Professor Levine, their leg did not belong to them. And so they would think that it was some sort of joke, that someone had put a dead leg in their bed. So they would throw it out of their bed and find that they had thrown themselves out of bed. And then they would be very panicked.
It's pretty interesting how, you know, you would think that energy would focus in such a way. You know, you'd think maybe that there'd be more of a kind of harmonious spread of energy throughout the body, and it wouldn't just concentrate itself so much on, you know, one point, like the leg, I guess. You know, it would seem like it would be more...
Well, spiritual realignment, as we discussed on the last show, is necessary.
Yeah, but at the same time, we are really designed to have very specific mechanical awareness and sense of space. And if we take advantage of that for a spiritual exploration, which we in many ways weren't designed for, it sort of seems like an accident. That it's only natural that we would take advantage of our natural gifts to do that. And that would involve reassigning some limb or some phalange or protrusion or depression or, you know, some sort of physical point in order to take advantage of all of that awareness.
Yes, and there's some traditions of meditation coming from Turkey, I believe, which have given us the ability to reassign the sensations of one limb and assign those sensations to another limb instead. Which is a really fascinating field where you can actually learn to align the sensation of your stomach, for example, to your fingers. And then you'll feel hunger only in your fingertips, but no longer in your stomach.
And now this is also a new thing that is coming around in science, that I've heard about people attaching a camera to a blind man's tongue and having the blind man see using his tongue.
Well, of course, science is many thousands of years behind the true wisdom of the meditative scholars. But yes, I think science is starting to understand that there's a great deal of wisdom.
Well, and there are people like us who stand at the threshold between traditional science and the classical New Age.
Yeah, it's also interesting how there is, you know, some sort of kind of progress through MRIs, you know, seeing actually some of the effects of spiritual practice. Also, you know, specifically like meditation, I feel there's been a lot of reports, you know, saying that different parts of the brain are actually being activated when we're conceptualizing versus being present in the moment.
It's amazing. And also this idea that you could see, I mean, such a basic idea, but to see something without being there yourself, without exposing the body to the air.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's really interesting too how, you know, there's so many kind of different sorts of information you can connect with from different senses, just from the, you know, going within the body, feeling like, you know, vibrations, people coming into the room, for example, you know, you can... really see that, and even, you know, certain ways that it's kind of augmented. Maybe, you know, you feel some sort of thing, you know, like a loaf of bread drop in the kitchen, and you suddenly, you know, have some smell of bread in your head, you know, so the connection kind of through the brain, kind of like you guys were saying, you know, different associations kind of building up just through different planes of awareness.
Go on.
Well, that's so true, and it's amazing how often in our daily life, how unaware we are of the sensations and the knowledge that's contained in every organ of our body. For example, we very rarely are directly aware of our kidney and what it's telling us.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
I believe the clinical term here is hallucinations, but that is up to the scientific mind.
Well, really, though, that's a misleading term, because obviously, on the one hand, it has a lot of negative connotations, but also there is the sense that a hallucination is necessarily false, whereas these sorts of spiritual vibrations actually often are surprisingly accurate, and they ring true.
Hey, well, thank you guys a lot. It was great talking with you. I gotta get off my old cell phone here, concentrate on driving.
Well, thank you for joining the circle for this short time, caller.
Hey, no problem. And, you know, have a good Friday night.
Yes, and the number again, if any other listener wants to join us, is 617-253-8810.
These concepts of spiritually connecting with something in that way, being so aware of a loaf of bread through hunger, through cooking the bread, through perhaps having a great affinity for certain spreads and cheeses, that sort of affinity enabling you to know when the bread was being eaten without your permission, it's really profound.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things about our modern life and culture is that we can purchase bread with whatever grain we feel we have a strongest spiritual affinity towards. Some people are deeply connected to rye bread, and others to multigrains.
Well, our operator indicates there is another caller. See if we can patch that through. Caller, welcome to the air. Caller?
I was just listening, and I wanted to comment on that insect burrowing under the skin.
Yes. Yes,
I really, I feel like that happened to me too, and it's never happened to me ever.
This happened recently?
Yes.
Was it?
It happened about 2 days ago, and I felt like there really was something under my skin, and I looked at it. I'm a nurse, and I looked at it, and I just really felt like there was really something under there.
Now, did you excise the insect?
No.
Did
I just put a Band-Aid on it. My husband kept telling me to not poke at it. I'm not the type of person that gets anything on their skin, so mm-hmm. I was tempted to just, like you said, excise it, but I've sort of left it alone, and I'm hoping that it's nothing.
Well, what were you doing, caller, immediately before you started feeling the sensation?
You said you don't get anything on your skin, but I'm wondering if you got dirt on your skin before this.
I may have. I don't recall anything happening that was abnormal. I just remember seeing something that was abnormal on my leg.
Well, these are common symptoms. a lot of cases, the patients cannot recall actually having contact with anything abnormal.
Exactly. Right. I don't remember a spider crawling on my leg. It's not bug season.
These bugs emit a milky white substance as soon as they enter you, which I'm not sure what kind of Hollywood movies you've seen, but it's been alluded to in several movies, and this substance actually travels intravenously to your central nervous system, where also, similarly, a lot of new research is being done with rats and selectively erasing memory, and they use a similar substance in these experiments.
Well, caller, if I may, where exactly on your body, if you don't mind?
It's on my calf.
On your calf. So this is a common location, too. I don't suppose you live in a particularly grassy, like a high grass area?
No. No, I don't.
Is it very humid where you live?
No, I live on the North Shore, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Do you wade in the water?
There we go.
I haven't yet this season because it's been so cold, but I have experienced small little blister-like areas on the other parts of my leg, just teeny tiny, minute, you really couldn't you couldn't distinguish them.
I'm not a spiritual doctor, but it sounds to me like you're a practitioner of Wicca, or perhaps you have unintentionally come upon the circle of this.
That there may be some circular rash that is invisible?
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I would perhaps think that, as I mentioned earlier, each of us in our bodily temple, we each have a holy of holies that is most in tune with the vibrations of the universe and the spirit world.
I agree.
And I'm wondering if this is an indication that your calf is, for you, that holy of holies.
That you might feel a movement. See, there is another possibility, which is that there is some sort of... now, caller, do you drink any stimulants like caffeine, for instance?
Just coffee, one cup a day, maybe two at the most in the morning.
Because these substances are hard hitting on the brain, so there are vast regions within the brain that they will attach to, and it will also usually spill over into the motor cortex. So you may have these sensations of jitteriness or a strange movement. And it is somewhat random, and it's on a case-by-case basis where it may occur. But one thing that you might experiment with on the weekends is trying to not drink that coffee and see if that improves things.
Well, I have to tell you that I don't work full-time. I am a nurse, and I work with the kids at the school. So I don't drink a lot of coffee, and pretty much my weekdays are similar to my weekends. However, I have experienced in the last month or so an eye twitch that I never get either, and my husband seems to think it's maybe a temporal what he calls like a temporal arteritis. My girlfriend, who actually does massage therapy and is very holistic, asked me to try just a potassium, eat some bananas. She thinks it might be a potassium deficiency. I don't know if that's related to the leg or not, but it seems to be at the same time that I'm having this leg bite that's come out of nowhere. Which I did see something white there, and I really intuitively thought there was something in my leg, and also this eye twitch. And when I tell you I've never had either one of these symptoms ever, I mean it. I've never had an eye twitch, and I've never had any kind of bite whatsoever on my leg.
I believe you need to cut down on the amount of transdermal mediation that you do at night.
And by transdermal mediation, you mean the application of certain lotions, or?
Or instruments.
Well, this is an interesting conversation, right? Because I've never had an eye twitch, but for many years I had a nose twitch that was very, very disturbing to me. My nose would just twitch every minute or so.
Perhaps the two are related.
Well, I realized later that, as we talked before about sensing the unsensed with all our senses, and I notice that I have a special spiritual affinity with the sense of smell. And this twitching was really just an indication that my nose wasn't satisfied with the full range of experience that it was having.
I think you're right, because the woman I see for my massage says that I have I can see things, that I'm more of that type of sensory. I just can sense things through my eyes more than just my other senses. So that could be. Maybe I'm overusing that.
Well, caller, unfortunately, we are reaching the end of the hour there.
Well, thank you so much for listening to me. If you could give me one last bit of advice for my poor leg that is a little bit swollen but doing better, and I'm going to Walt Disney World with my kids tomorrow. Is there any little bit of advice you could give me for this?
I would say check out mites. They can burrow up to a tenth of an inch down to your skin, and they have white fluid, and heads up for mites.
Okay. Well,
and I think finally, of course, caller, you should know, and all our listeners should know, that we are not doctors, and we certainly wouldn't want to replace them.
Right.
So ultimately, that may be the best advice we can give. But once again, our time is up. So thank you to Georgina the Explorer and Mr. Five, Beyond the Glass and the Concrete and the Car Wash.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And also to the priestess Isis.
Thank you.
Thank you for being there with us. And to Ivan the Mellow.
Спасибо, до свидания.
And to Professor Levine.
It was great to be here again.
It was my greatest pleasure to have you all. I'm Dr. Jalas Sakran with Music for Humans, New Age Talk Radio, here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge, Fridays at 7 p.m. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Ma'a salama.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.